Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Saturday. This is Brother Nate and another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, we're grateful to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who has given us the opportunity to share the Word of God again with you. Thank God for all you listening to the broadcast. And once again, doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at, doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are, I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address in God's Word to Man at gmail.com. That's GODSWORD, the number 2, MAN at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Glory be to God. So, amen, this is Friday. For those of you who follow us on Blog Talk Radio, hey, you know what it means. Heart to heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. And therefore, as we await for my brother to come on, whoever you listen to me, I want you to join in with me in prayer. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again that you have blessed us on this Friday to come together to hear the word of the Lord given. I ask that you will word the mouth of the speakers tonight and touch the ears of the hearers. And Lord God, that your word may be magnified on this broadcast this day. So Lord God, we ask for your spirit to be with us, to accompany us, and to release into our hearts what we stand in need of this day. So Lord God, we just thank you and we give you glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. So once again, this is Friday, heart to heart, Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. We're waiting for my brother to come on. Thank God for such an opportunity you've given us to give the gospel unto you, the listeners, this day. Thank you, Jesus. I am very humbled to have this chance to present the word to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So glory be to Almighty God. Amen. He is worthy to be praised and to be glorified. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. He definitely is, people. He's worthy to be praised and to be glorified. Hallelujah. Hold to the word. Hold to the word, people. Come closer to God. Get into a deeper consecration with him, that you may stand the things that is yet to come. Right now, we're in the hour where the coronavirus has shaken up many. Many have suffered losses of loved ones. But the same God is still God. Amen. And we have to learn to turn to him in this critical time and hour that we're in. And like I said on the broadcast yesterday, God has really been dealing with me the more on fighting the good fight of faith. We are in a faith fight. I think that many times we forget that, okay? We think if we say something, quote, once, that's supposed to be it, but you have to continue to stand, continue to confess, and continue to, quote, battle in the spirit. And we must all keep that in mind. You are in a faith fight, people. You're in a fight to keep your faith. That's including faith and consecration. You're in the faith fight. So now, let me pass my brother on here. God bless, brother. God bless. God bless. Okay, look like we having technical difficulties once again. Satan, we rebuke you. The Lord rebukes you. We come against every hindrance of the enemy. In Jesus' name, you will not hinder my brother from coming on here. We plead the blood of Jesus against you. and against your works right now in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Turn loose of this broadcast in Jesus' name. Glory to God. God bless, brother.
Shalom, shalom. God bless a more favorable and blessed day we are given as the voice of the Lord speaking in the end time we live. And we have our being today to exalt the Lord Jesus and his everlasting gospel. And so we greet you, beloved, wherever part of the world you are. And this is Brother Lee from the Windy City of Chicago, Illinois, in the United States of America. We enjoy much freedom and liberty. We are thankful. We exalt the Lord Jesus and acknowledge the Holy Spirit and the Bible and his truth of redemption. And thank God for this opportunity. And we welcome you. This is missionaries, women's man maidens night. And we welcome especially the women of, and women of God and mothers and wives. We give you in honor and special recognition, and we come to say welcome. Welcome to the broadcast of Church of Christ with Elijah Message. We are seated in Christ. He's our head. The gospel is our foundation. Light of his redemption is our direction. So we greet you with a hearty amen. Okay, welcome, brother.
God bless you, brother. Welcome.
Yeah, welcome. So we with hearts of emotion, losing of a great brother, Brother Robert Gross, who passed, we honor and give respect to honor our dear brother who was a beloved man of God and a faithful servant of Christ. We'd be greatly, greatly missed as a son, as a fellow laborer in Christ, as a man of integrity and a warrior and a fighter. For I thank God with the kingdom of God will miss him. Hardly very few people can replace such a dedicated young man. Okay, and so pray for his family everywhere. Okay, brother, what are you were saying?
Oh, no, just in encouraging the people. I just shared with them, actually I shared late on the broadcast yesterday, how the past couple weeks to the Lord have been dealing with me with the scripture of fighting the good fight of faith, that we are in a faith fight.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, no doubt that the two kingdoms are in at war and at a clash. The kingdom of darkness, whom the devil and Satan and his evil hybrids are over, and the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, whom the redeemed body of Christ are part of, and we're in a fight against this enemy of Satan, sin and death and oppression. So, yeah, but the Lord has promised us that we will win the battle. He's given us the tools and the means, and the means wherein we obtain the victory. And that we say to the people of God seated in Christ and the gospel established that he has promised us victory, and Jesus has made a way for us to know victory because he has overcome the devil, overcame sin, death, hell, and the grave already, and crushed the enemy. He gave us the ability and authority and the might to overcome the kingdom of darkness. So we not get distressed, even though we have a struggles. He has Jesus, when he rose from the dead with power, and he thoroughly crushed the enemy, and he said, thanks be to God, who always give us the victory through our Lord Jesus. So that is our battle cry. Thanks be to God. We always attain the victory when you follow through in Christ. So his plan, no defeat for us, but his plan, victory for his people. Yeah.
Amen, brother. I agree.
Amen. Yeah, no doubt that many people kind of are about the world's conditions and its great darkness and sorrow and grief and sorrow that's upon the nations. Well, and we need to understand that these two kingdoms of darkness, the kingdom of darkness and of the fallen world, and the kingdom of the living Christ, and Christ has ordained that his people, his ordained, redeemed believers, to overcome and subdue all the powers of the enemy. So the war is on. The weapons of warfare, the war is on. But we have been given assurance, and given assurance and very assurance, no matter the struggle, that we will win and conquer and be victorious if we pursue the Lord with our whole heart, our whole desire, and that we attain complete victory. Now, we look at the world situation. People understand what's happening. Well, the Bible says, I think in Revelation 12, that we overcame him. Satan come down, and his time is short now to rule over the nations. And what you see, Satan ruling over the nations. And I think a lot of people misunderstand that when they use the word sovereign, God is sovereign. He's over everything. Well, that needs to be clarified. We need to understand what that means, even though God is sovereign, all powerful, all knowing, and everything, and that in the end he wins. But right now, the gates of hell, and the power of darkness is ruling over many nations. So let's not forget that God is not ruling over many nations yet, but he will. He will win in the end. But right now, in a sense, God is not sovereign over these nations. Satan and his power and evil influence, because these nations are not subject to Christ, are not subject to his word, because it said the flesh is at enmity with God, and the fallen man is at enmity and war with God. So therefore, people don't understand, well, God's in charge, everything will be all right. Well, if we allow God to be in charge, it'll be all right. But if we don't let Jesus be in charge, it's not going to be all right. I want to get that straight, bro.
Amen. I agree, brother. 100%. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, because I hear a lot it's a misinterpretation and misunderstanding application. The gates of hell will rule for a certain time. And we got to understand that God is not, Jesus is not the master of nations. Nations are fallen. They are sinful with the fallful nature. We read 6th chapter of Romans. We see the 3rd chapter, man, where man is a fallen creature. In Christ, God is not ruling over nations and many million people. Well, who's ruling over there? Well, the nature of sin and Satan. So the nature of sin in man and the will of man and Satan's evil influence is ruling over many nations and millions of people's lives. That's why the gospel preached so they will come to the kingdom of God. Why? That's the reason the gospel has to go, so they may come and align themselves with the king and the kingdom of God, to be born of God, in the kingdom of God, born again. And so the people that's not born again, they're in the kingdom of Satan, children of darkness. Colossians 3, he brought up out of kingdom out of darkness to as a kingdom of into the kingdom of his dear son. What is 1:20? We all were in the kingdom of darkness and sin. And when we are born again and put in faith in Christ, then we are born out of the kingdom of the darkness as children of darkness and to the kingdom of Christ. So now, once we were by nature, we are against God. The Bible said we are born with a nature that's at war, enmity against the living God. It's a nature of fallen, sinful nature. It's against God. And we're born again by the Spirit of God and the blood of Jesus and faith in the Lamb of God out of the kingdom of darkness, translated out of the kingdom of darkness by faith, all by act of faith, believing that Christ died and rose again, hallelujah, and redeemed us from sin and put our faith and confess him as Lord and Christ and then be baptized in his name and filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, then we are engaged with war against the flesh, against the devil, and the kingdom of darkness. And we'll go to preach the gospel of liberty Isaiah 61, to all men. So this thing, gates of hell are prevailing temporarily over many nations. And when we tell people God is in charge, we need to tell them God is not in charge of all these millions of people, and he's not in charge of all these nations. If he was completely in charge and sovereign, then we had to make God a sinner, because all these nations are doing wickedness and evil and destroying, and God is not the author of sin or darkness. Hallelujah. But the fallen man that's under Satan is doing these things. So Satan is influencing, like, Iraq, Iran. These nations are not Christian nations. Who's ruling over these nations? Over Red China, Red Russia, Communist China, Iraq, Iran, evil Sudan. Who's over these nations? Is God in charge? No, not charge as sovereign as you think, because men have to submit their own will to God. Nations have to submit. That's what's going on now. God is preaching the gospel to people that they may submit to the will of the Father. Jesus said, pray that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, because the will of God is not sovereign yet in the earth. He said, pray that the kingdom of God be preached and taught and demonstrated. He said, pray this prayer, our Father prayer, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy will be done. That means the will of God is not done yet. Thy will be done, oh brother, on earth as it is in heaven. Well, it's not done as it is in heaven. So God does not sovereignly rule yet. The kingdom of Christ has not take dominion of the earth. It has not ruled over all the earth. So with who's ruling? Well, the other fellow, temporarily.
Amen.
So we have to make that as people, because people sit back and do nothing and says, okay, I don't have to do nothing because God is in charge. Well, that means if God is totally in charge, that you think all you got to do is sit and do nothing. Then the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God, the gospel, we don't have to do nothing. Brother, we don't have to preach the gospel. We don't have to cast the devil out. We don't have to subdue him. Why do we got to cast him out, subdue him? And people are coming with, well, God, we don't have to do it. No, dear one. No, it's not a do nothing. You take dominion through the Christ. He said, I give you authority and power over all the power of the enemy. Why is he going to give you power and authority over all the enemy? Because you got to take the kingdom from the and to do the kingdom. And see, because Satan is ruling and reigning in many areas. So, you know, and people understand this. The kingdom of God, the believers is raised up to do what Jesus did. He went everywhere, and he says, Isaiah 61, when did Jesus come? He said, the Spirit, the Lord God Jehovah is on me. What? He said, to preach the acceptable year, to preach the gospels, to preach the gospel, and bring dominion. And he said, loose the captive and open the prison doors. So that means there's a job to be done, because people say, well, God is in charge, but Nate, I don't have to do nothing.
I believe they missed that, brother.
Yes, I think they misunderstand that. I think. Now, when you get in the army, brother, in the United States, and we have natural enemies, right? And all nations are mostly in conflict or difference between other nations. So when you join the army, military, the military is raised up to defend and fight, right? The main goal, to defend your territory and fight against the enemy, right? Okay. Now, when I went into the Army or Marine or whatever, they train you to defend our country. They train you against the enemies that's trying to overtake us. They give you weapons, training and weapons to do warfare, to defend and protect. Now, if there was nothing to protect, there would need no need to train or give you a gun or weapons. In the spiritual warfare, in the kingdom of darkness, we are in conflict against the other enemy called Satan and his dark powers. Now, and the fallen nature. Listen, the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 10, the weapons of our what? Warfare. The weapons of our what?
Warfare.
Brother Nate, the weapons of warfare are not earthly.
Amen.
Why do we need weapons if we don't have to do nothing, brother? I mean, if God was already done did it, why do we? Paul said, fight the good fight of faith, right?
Amen.
Fight the good fight of faith. Paul said, I fought. And he named all the things he had to fight and win over while he was in the earth. He fought of this. He fought against it. Well, why do you need to fight, spiritually fight? Well, I don't. Well, if I don't have to do nothing, why do I need to fight the good fight of faith?
Amen.
Hallelujah. He said, I overcome the different gods he named in Corinthians, the name in 8th chapter of Romans, why he had to fight against the evil and how he had to fight against the power of this, false brothers, false this. So he had to fight, didn't he? He had to actually not physically, but this is a spiritual war, right?
Amen. Spiritual. Amen.
All right, so I just thought I'd get that in because a lot of people around the world don't know what's going on. Nations are coming down. See, the kingdom of this world must come down. The kingdoms ruled by the man and Satan must come to an end. That's what the end means. The end of man's kingdom and rule and Satan's time of rulership. The end of that. The end of that. And the kingdom of God, when it said the end of sin and Satan's rule. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. So, the end of darkness, end of Satan's rule over the nation, of sin ruling over man. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. That's what Jesus is coming back to. That's why he, when he come back, it's a glorious time he shall return. He's coming. But before he comes, there's going to be a lot of chaos because kingdoms of darkness are coming down. Nations are falling. Hallelujah, because they're coming to an end. Okay, brother, you want to call the beloved women? Are they on the market, are those missionary sisters?
Well, I'm giving them a minute to be on. Since you made the call out like that, brother, I'm giving them a minute to come on here.
Okay. Hallelujah. Well, that's glory to Jesus. Lord, we lift you and exalt you for your plan. Yes. Your purposes shall all be done. The gates of hell shall not prevail. We shall prevail because we are built upon the rock of our salvation in Christ and the power of his resurrection. The gates of hell shall come down and be broken, subdued, and darkness shall be dispelled. Oh, Satan, your time is up, sin, and your time is up. Your time, the struggle, you know your time is short. And Satan has come down with great wrath and fury, Revelation 12 says. Now is the time of victory for the saints. Now is the time for the great victories. This is the time of the great victories, Brother Nate. This is the time of our greatest victory for the Church of the Living God. Hallelujah. So the greatest victory, we're about to see the greatest manifestation of the Holy Spirit to overthrow the enemy and loose the captive.
Okay.
We're about to see the greatest outpouring of the Holy Ghost and the power of God and angels ministering in the earth, my God, overthrowing the kingdom of darkness. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Okay, then. I guess the sisters are... This is the sixth day, and on the sixth day that people be off of work of 5 days a week and with their families and loved ones and taking trips and eating restaurants or whatever the vacations are doing, picnicking and enjoying one another. God wants us to enjoy our families, time with our families, with our wives and our children, our community, and also the work of the Lord. So, yeah, God wants us to enjoy ourselves. We don't have to – we stay on God. We don't have to battle every moment, but we stay on God. And it's
Amen.
Okay to enjoy yourself, saints, in righteousness. It's all right to have a joyful time. He wants us to have
Amen.
A joyful time on this earth. Just like it's in heaven, he said, let the kingdom come. You know, he said the kingdom of God, he wants the glory of God to come in earth just like it's in heaven. So they're enjoying that self, brother, in heaven. You know that? They are enjoying ourselves.
Yeah.
So he wants us to enjoy ourselves in the kingdom of the redeemed in the earth. He wants us to enjoy our lives. So, you know, hey, thank you, G. He said, this is joy time as well as victory time. It's joy time and victory time. It's joyful time and war time and overcoming victory time. Yeah, it's both of them all together.
Well, we want to welcome on a sister here. God bless you, Sister Anderson. How you doing?
I'm blessed, brothers. I'm here. I'm just going to listen in tonight.
Ma'am?
I'm just going to listen in tonight. I'm here. I'm listening.
I know you were listening, sister. I know, unless you was on a sort of joint or something. I know you was listening.
Yes,
all
sir.
Right.
Yes, I'm listening.
Okay. Well, I guess sister, she stays so busy doing so many things for people and helping people. Sister Helen, she be going on trips and going here and there. She's just a traveling evangelist and missionary. She's a rolling stone. Oh, that sister's busy helping or reaching out or touching or aiding somebody somewhere. She's on the move. She's on the move. She's on the move. She's on the move. And thank
mm-hmm.
God for her favor. I just want to touch on a few things tonight. Sister, I'm going to give you we want to have an hour now, and so I'm going to try to make this brief as I can. If you can get your make sure you get your 20 minutes in separate. Okay. Do you know what came to me a few minutes ago? I was going to get finished something I did last week, but you know something that came to me a few minutes ago? A nation is known by its great in excellence through its children.
Yes.
I said a nation is known
mm-hmm.
its greatness and excellence of character through their children.
Amen.
So we're looking in an area where children are bruised, torn, neglected, molested, uncared for, uneducated, unloved, unwanted.
Yes.
It seemed to be, because I live in the Western Hemisphere in the United States, which is one of the most blessed and liberated nations in the whole world. And it's such a blessing to be in a free nation, such as the United States, a Christian nation, once it was. But our children, it's why the devil is after the young ones. And we notice something is taking place. Because a nation is supposed to be grooming its children for the next generation, right? Grooming them, preparing them, right?
Amen.
You got a cold, sister?
I have a sore throat.
Okay, you work on it now.
Yes, sir, I'm working with it.
Well, you can just listen. If whatever you want to do, you need to work on it immediately. Okay. Nations are known, Brother Nate, its greatness and excellence of character is how it treats its children and its old people, of course, seniors. But it's known in its character how it teaches its children for the next generation to be. In America in particular, in many other nations, children are bruised, torn, neglected, many of them, molested, uncared for, uneducated, unloved, and unwanted. Can you
Amen.
Comment on that, why that's
Amen.
Affecting the world today, how that affects the world?
Yes. Yeah, it does affect the world because instead of instead of grooming the children are left and then abandoned. So therefore, the nation that the Lord intended for them to be is not being groomed. And also because of the devil has entered in and into the minds of man and taken the father figure out of the home. So therefore, they are not being taught on that level. And the devil has moved into the school system, and they are not being taught on that level. That actually in the school system now that they are actually being taught about the different occults, and the children are being sold, they're being kidnapped, they're being sold, they're being used for sex slaves, and so therefore, this is a fallen nation because the children are not being groomed to be that nation that the Lord is calling for them to be. And that is on God's people or the Christian people. It's on the word says that the troubles and trials is going to begin at the house. At the household of God, but going to begin in your own home. And that's where it started, in your home. And devil knows, and he's working to deceive and to destroy.
Okay. Yeah. Brother Nate, where you at?
Yes, yes. Most definitely. You know, as we, you know, look at the things that you were describing and what's happening with the children. And you can see the course of the nations, especially this nation. You know, once upon a time, education for the kids was a big thing. But now it's being put back on the back burner. And so we see that with the children, instead of the things being seen to lead them into the right way, in the right manner, now is just being put back. And I think that you, as you see the nation, that's one of the things the nation is suffering at. And now we have allowed the children just to just roam and get into anything and everything, okay, instead of helping them along the way.
Yeah, why do you think that one of the rules about the home when the Almighty God spoke to Israel through Moses and given them the law of life and the law of liberty, he spoke about the family and the children, and he said something, and you know what he said, that when Israel was first founded as a nation, and the Most High God planned the family and its rule and its life, he said, now teach them and train them, and it was kind of a everyday thing. He said, when you come together mm-hmm. and eat around yep. the table, tell them, mm-hmm. talk to them, show them. Mm-hmm. And he said this yeah. is a constant thing, because he treasured the new lives, the treasure, the new treasure, which was the children. He said, now be sure you teach and train them. Tell them of me, what I've done, what I've made for them. And he constantly said to Israel, teach them. Now notice, something important, the Lord focused on the youth, the young ones, and it's something very important. We look at Proverbs, so we turn to Proverbs 20, what is it, 20 and verse 11, and someone 22 and 6, Sister Allison. Brother 20 and 11 in Proverbs, Sister Anderson, 22 and 6.
Okay, Proverbs 20 and 11 says, even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right.
Mm-hmm. Proverbs 22 and 6 says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Okay. something that would remain with him a whole lifetime that would help him in his whole formation of life. And so the formation of life has to do with the formation of life has something to do with that from beginning, right? And so the Lord planted a treasure in the newborns and says, they are mine. Do you know that Israel had to offer up the male child as soon as he was born? Why do you think that the children, that they had to bring them to the altar of God and the priest to be blessed? Why do you think that was necessary when the male child was, he had to be brought and offered and dedicated to the Lord God? Why do you think that's important?
That's the word it said, train them up.
Brother Nate, why do you think that's important that they had to offer up the child? Why do you think that has an effect on the world and the development of children today?
Well, so they can be under the hand and the covenant of the Lord, our dedication of our children to Christ would help get them under the help and direction of the Lord Jesus Christ and to come into covenant with him. Because we can't be around them all time and every time.
Okay. We need to understand the importance that the law in Israel, that when the male child especially had to be come and brought to be offered and dedicated and given. And this is very important in Israel, that especially the male child, that the priest had to bless.
Yeah.
And why do you think that's going to influence the child and the nations when that's not done?
Because he's not done a recovery.
What do you mean?
Under the covering of the Lord. If he is not being dedicated back to the Lord.
Well, why do people today, that families that are not spiritually under covenant, do they think that affects children? Families that don't have no spiritual head like the father to bring the child, do you think that has an effect? Or the mother that bears the child and is not under covenant, was it plain that, kind of get that to me, how that affects a nation?
Well, it affects the nation. Go ahead, sis.
It affects the child, first of all, by not having that head. The head. They would take their children to the priest to be blessed because of that head figure, the father figure over them, the covenant that they were under. And it affects that household when there's not the father figure that is in that household, the covenant, because the father figure is supposed to be the one that's the covering over the children and the Jesus Christ, the covering over the father figure in the house. And that affects that child because that child have no, it's nothing for him to look up to. He doesn't have that father figure, that example. He doesn't have that example to look to. And the children of Israel, the male child was taken and being blessed because they had that head to look up to. They had that put up on them. It's the same as the father in the house is that example that the children look up to. And when those children don't have that mother in the house, they're missing something. It is something missing from that child's life and not to have the mother or the father figure that for them to set an example for them or to teach them.
Okay. Brother Nate, go ahead.
Yeah, and plus, see, the enemy wants to get a hold of our children because, you know, we are to train our children up in the way of the Lord so they can especially, you know, continue on to carry the gospel message of Christ. This is why the enemy is trying to destroy our seed and have babies aborted, because he know that they come in with a purpose. in the Lord. And see, the enemy doesn't want that fulfilled.
So the trouble, a lot of trouble we're having in the world is the children's, they're being born and raised up. What are the three reasons you think that the chaotic problems that exist in the world today, mainly about seeds that's born and the seeds that come into the earth, and they're not the three things that that Satan is using against the world and why the children are like they are? Can you give us three reasons as to how they're being affected by not having a covenant father who is spiritual in the home, or not having a father that's redeemed, or who is the priest of the home, or not having a covenant of marriage? How do you think that affecting the world and the next generation of children?
Well, one of the things I see, there's doors open of curses that have affected the children through out of being, you know, born out of wedlock, giving Satan a legal right to curse. I think it's affecting the children.
So being in,
you know,
and being, are you saying that not being married, children that's born, even though Lord loves them and not love them, and not, they're loved of the Father, but when they violate and being born not under the covenant of marriage, that has a, leaves an open door to the enemy, to Satan, or what?
Yeah.
It leaves an open door, yes, to attack the seed that is yet to be born because of the thing that was done out of the wedlock. And the door comes open through the parents, or through those, you know, whom the child's biologically of, because the child was born out of wedlock. So, yes, it does open up the door for curses to afflict our children, even physically. Physical affliction of curses can afflict them. Emotionally can afflict them.
Okay. Sister Addison, go ahead.
Yes, sir. The doors are left open. These children, when they are not under, I'll go back and say, born under the marriage covenant. Just for instance, you have the single parent household. These children, if that mother, a single parent, if that mother is not diligently and watching over and training and teaching her child, that child is left to, actually, they're raising themselves. So many things affect the children now. It's like the parents are actually using the TV as the babysitter. They're not training them. And then when they go to school, they're being taught something else. So the doors are really left open for the children when there's not a mother or father figure that's involved in their lives to train them. Because if there's a mother and a father figure in their child's life, they are training them to not to go out there and what it is to be a single parent or not have a father figure in your child's life. And yes, that leaves the door open for that child to not be trained as an example to look up to. That gives that child, also open the door for that child to invite, because there's so much out there now that the children are so impressionable, and there's so much out there now, and that leaves the door open for them to go out. And if they are not being taught or being trained, or you haven't taught that child, okay, dinner is at a certain time, you be home, you be here at dinner time, and then you train and you talk to that child, they're going to find something else to be involved in. if you don't have anything to keep those children involved, they will go out and find something to keep themselves involved. And that opens up another door. Matter of fact, it opened up so many doors because it opens up the doors that now they are out there that they can have a child out of wedlock. They're out there into drugs. They're out there into prostitution. They're out there into all kinds of things. So that is cutting off the nation that the Lord is raising up through these children. These children are being cut off before they even have a chance.
Yeah. Right,
hey,
true.
Brother, I would like to say one last thing to that, too. It also opens up a spirit of contention between siblings. As a minister from Africa came to the convention of T.D. Jakes, where we went to in 2005, he talks about how that the children of one woman, like a man, when he have children by one woman and then have children by another woman, he said many times they are in contention with each other. And I've seen that personally. It opened up a door for a spirit of contention to be between children of you know, different mothers, you know what I'm saying, or different fathers. I've seen that happen.
Well, do you think that's a great problem in America in particular?
Gigantic problem, brother.
Yeah.
Gigantic.
Is it kind of it's not a shame anymore? Is there any shame anymore to people having sin relationship that produce children or any of that? Is no shame anymore? Is it accepted? It's kind of accepted without shame anything?
No shame.
That's correct. Shame went out the door, brother. It went out the door.
So let me. You saying they get a license to have relationships outside of marriage, intimate sexual and all kind of relationship, and produces children, and without a father in the home, without a covenant of father, without a covenant of marriage. So they're without either covenant of the God command to be upon the children that he may raise up unto him a nation. So that by them violating those two laws and ignoring it, that it doesn't matter. Long as we can, all we have to do is say I love one another, and that's it. You in love, you don't have to abide by no rules, no principles, no spiritual laws, or nothing. You just produce children, just like, you know, I won't put it this way, but you know how animals do. They animals, they don't have to have no law, right?
Right.
Right.
And I don't want to make it too harsh, but if you're gonna live without a law of life. A moral law, an ethical law, or a godly law in producing children in a nation, that's going to give the devil a chance to affect him emotionally, mentally, physically, and wealth, a development for righteousness, development for good. Because why? We have an evil, a devil, who wants to take charge of their lives, right, or influence their lives, right?
Amen. Amen. Yeah. So
why do you think in many cases we see in these suburban or the urban areas of many children that are angry who are in a single parent home? A lot of time they not all the time. There's some good mothers who try to make up the difference and try to do their best and raise their children singly without, you know, father. And some things happen to women that they have no control over, and then some because they have not trained to have discipline in their life. So they have free sex when the hormones, they in America, it's like free sex is okay as long as you're in love. You can start at 13. You can start at, 12 or whatever, right? And are these people equipped to be mothers and fathers at that age?
No. No.
They're
not
equipped to
take care of themselves.
So that leaves the children. Pardon me?
Well, see, and I've been noticing, too, that the mothers and fathers who did teach the children about getting married first are passing on. And the ones that are coming up after are not teaching, quote, their children. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, a lot of the older generation that you was firm on it, that, hey, that taught you, said, hey, none of that till you marry and all that, they're passing on. And the ones that's, you know, has come up, many that has come up after them that are having children are not passing or having that same strong commitment stand in passing their teaching on to their children.
So in the Western culture, especially in the Western nations, there is a different view about marriage and relationship, right?
It is.
Exactly.
It's more liberal, is that right?
Yes, sir.
That's right, all over the place, brother. All over the place.
And so they have no conviction whether it's sin or whether it's right, whether it proved bad results or anything that they, but then some manage to recover themselves, right? Many find themselves in a mistake, a relationship. They come and some of them recover themselves, right? Even though it's hard and
right.
struggle, but manage to rise above it and recover themselves and get on the right road in thinking. And it's very difficult raising three or four children without a husband figure or father figure. Sometimes a uncle or grandmother or grandfather step in and be a surrogate. And sometimes they're blessed with that. But there's some suffering
there. You got about 8 minutes.
So,
you got about 8 minutes, brother.
Oh, 8 minutes? That gone quick, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Why do you think there's so many angry youth? One of the reasons why you run into so many angry youth, especially in certain groups, we find a lot of single parents, of course, in the black neighborhood, and certain other groups we find predominant having children out of wedlock, this or that, and a lot of them overcome it and rise above it and turn from it. So what do you think the results of our attitude in America? What is our attitude about marriage and relationships, and why children are the one that suffer the most? And why do you think that so many children are being molested in the home, physically, mentally, and emotionally?
That devil, because of the open doors, and they're not being trained. And the devil is on his job.
I'm going to take part of the responsibility. I'm not going to put it all on the devil. I'm going to put it on the individual.
You're right. Because the parents need to be parents and train their children. Because if you're a parent and you train your children, then a lot of times you have these children out here that are, as you said, they are angry, they're disobedient, they're out there on the street, and they talk back to the parents, the one parent or parent that's there, they talk back to them, and these kids are getting out, and they're involved in all kinds of things. And, yeah, part of the responsibility lies on that parent or whoever brought them into this world.
Okay, then. So in America in particular, and we haven't talked too much about the other nations. Perhaps tomorrow we'll talk about the view of other nations. But here's the situation in America. While we got so many angry young people marching and violence and drugs and we have a lot of great, wonderful kids who are doing great and marvelous things. Also, youth are rising above their surrounding environment and just going and doing great and marvelous things and just accomplishing great things. We don't say, but we do have a segment of young children that are really angry and murderous and violent, and they're just prone to don't care about nothing, don't care about life. So why is there so much molestation and abuse and misuse in a lot of homes that are affecting the growth of the nation? They're being, the Bible says, provoke your child not to wrath. What do you mean in Colossians? Provoke not your child. We close. Provoke not your child to wrath. What do you think that are provoking children as we close?
Purposely making them angry, purposely without a care, pushing them to the point of, you know, they're becoming violent and angry.
So many of them are getting abused by the tongue, not just only physical, but the tongue and the harsh and the vindictive word and the cursing word, and you're unwanted and you're rejected and you're no good, and cursing them out. So they're being abused emotionally and mentally by the tongue, right? Many cases.
Right. Amen.
So the woman perhaps, and so, well, you're no good daddy ain't here. You're no good man. Now, this is the one she had the baby by. But he's no good. You ain't no good. And so they're being abused and abused emotionally as well as mentally and physically. So this is, we're getting a lot. So when you run a case here, a lot of them are wounded. So you're running against a lot of bruised and wounded lives. Is that right? So when you come in contact with these wounded potential kings and priests, be sure to take note of it, of these wounded ones that you run into. And the believers, seek to heal them where it's possible and help them and let them know that you love them, that you care about them and their wounds. So we're going to end, and we're going to pray for all the wounded children who have been bruised, misused, uncared for, those that nobody cares for, the mama that raised them are not really a mother, the father that produced them is not really a father. He's just biologically, but he has not learned what a father is or what a mother is. He just birthed them. So now, Lord Jesus, we pray for our children who are suffering on being unwanted and unloved. Lord, you know and understand better than anyone, because they cast you out and they rejected you, so you know what it means to be unwanted, Lord Jesus. You know, and you suffered the little children to come unto you. So now many of our children, we ask you, provide a means for surrogate mothers and fathers to reach these wounded, rejected, unwanted children, and bless and deliver them and heal them. Give people with great love to reach out to the children. In Jesus' name, this is our prayer. Until we meet tomorrow night, the children of the world.
Amen.
Amen.
Once again, as my brother told you, don't forget tomorrow night from 7 to 8 o'clock, another Heart to Heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens, and we will continue on this subject concerning the children. So don't forget, it's from 7 to 8 o'clock tomorrow night. So once again, for Brother Lee, this is Brother Nate, Sister Anderson, we love you. God bless you, and God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless.
And amen.